Today's daf in Masechet Nidah, daf Gimel, brought you, not exactly we made a Chomot Yerushalayim, but right here of the Chomot of Johannesburg, which everybody's always talking about, but we're not surrounded by any electric fences here.
We're not locked in.
All right, so basically we got up to the top word, and we're ready to start at the top, but that's a difficult thing to do because we were right in the middle of the sugya, so let's just get up to date. What we ended up with was understanding that the two cases that we had originally brought to ask on the Machloket Shammai VeHillel here by a woman was from the case of Mikvah and from the case where we said over there, we thought that over there we're talking about a Vaday Tuma, and then we asked, what about the case of Chavit, where there was wine that turned into vinegar, and how come over there we say it's a Safek? So the Gemara's answer about those two cases was that actually they represent different Shitot, and they got called Libra Rabbi Shimon, he would be consistent in that. In both cases, Mikveh and Chavit, he would have said that it's only a Safek, and the Rabbonon, they would have said that it would be, in both cases, would be a Vaday. And so everything basically evens out. When it comes to the case of the Tevel, it happens to be that we were going Aliba the Rebbe Shimon, and so therefore we said anything beyond 3 days is a Safek. And when we were talking about the Mikveh, we were going Aliba the Rabbonim. Therefore we said that it was Vaday from the time of the last Bedikah. Now all of this was based on the assumption, which we will continue to examine, on the assumption that the Machloket of Shammai VeHillel revolves around the issue of chazakah. Do we, in fact, have a chazakah or not? Can we say, Hamed Ishal Chazkata, and therefore say, since she was Tehorah, we assume that she remains Tehorah? Or do we say, as Hillel says, this is what we think, that that's the Machloket, that since you have a Reuta Migufa, the Reuta Migufa, we're going to be Machmiran. And therefore, when it comes to Trumah V'Kotchim, we're going to say that she was Tamea, even the Mafreya. Okay? And that's why we got involved in the whole question of Chazaka, where we have a Reuta. And we define the difference as being very straightforward. In the case of Mikveh, and in the case of the Chavit of wine, which turned into vinegar, we not only have to deal with the Mikveh per se, and the Chavit per se, we have to deal with the status of the Tuma that was there lechatchila in the things that you're trying to be Metaher. So a guy who went into a mikveh, he was tummy. The kelim that are put in a mikveh were tummy, obviously. That's why they were put in a mikveh. So you have their cheskat tumah. Masha'inke, the woman, was in a matzav of a cheskat Torah before. And therefore, we don't have the tartei l'reyuta, and that accounts for the difference between the cases. That's where we were up to. Now, what about the machloket between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon per se? What is that machloket dependent on? Says the Gemara, that it's dependent, and this is extremely misleading, because it doesn't mean it's dependent at all, as we're going to see. When we say in this case, v'shnehem lo lamdua ela misota, both of them learned out the halacha, Rabbi Shimon who says that it's a safek, and the Rabbanan who say that it's a vaday, based their halacha on sota, is what the Gemara seems to be saying. In reality, as Tosis explains, it can't possibly mean that, as we'll soon see ourselves. And what it means is, both of them found their positions to be consistent with the din of sota. It doesn't mean they based it on sota. And here is the din by sota. We discussed this before. That is that in the case of the sota, the Torah calls it v'yi nitma'a or v'yi lo nitma'a. Clearly there's a difference between a case where there was someone else present, where it's not considered to be stira, so where there's three people, we'll never say v'yi nitma'a. And in that case, she's vaday Torah to her husband. In the case where she was in Istara, and there was a suffix whether she slept with the guy, and therefore a suffix whether she's Asura to her husband, the Torah says that she's Vanai Asura to her husband, until such time that she drinks the Mayimam Orim, it becomes Mutera to her husband. In which case you see clearly that where there's a Rishuta Yachid, we say Vadai Tomei, not suffix Tomei. Now in order to make the Shitot over here consistent with the din in Sota, we want to make sure that we understand why this case would be different according to the two Shitot. So on the surface, Rabbanan Savre, Ki Sota, Well, it's the same exact case as sota. Isn't it true that by sota we have a suffek whether the woman slept with this guy or not? So ma sota is a suffek, and nonetheless the Torah turned it into a vadai to give malkut to the husband if he actually sleeps with her before the bedika of the mei sota. So that means that where we have a suffek tuma, halkanami suffek viyasa uak vadai, and therefore we say both the case of the mikvah and the case of the chavit, we're going to have to assume that there was a tuma from before, and it's a vadai tuma. Well, wait a minute, says the Gemara, but then be consistent. If you're going to learn it out from sota, so then emaki sota, go all the way, say it's just like sota. Ma sota b'rishut harabim tohor, hachinami b'rishut harabim tohor, then we should say that it's also going to be different whether it's in Rishut HaRabim or not. And yet, it says, Beferish, Bein Rishut HaYafid, Bein Rishut HaRabim, it's going to be Tamei. So if you're telling me it's consistent with Sota, how do you explain the fact that it's even Tamei in Rishut HaRabim? Oh, say the Rabban, it's a ridiculous question. Achiash, what kind of comparison to Sota? There's no issue in Sota of its being a vadai tahor because it's in Rishus HaRabim, silly. It's because if it's in Rishus HaRabim, then she never was a sota, because the definition of being a sota is that she's alone with the guy. If she wasn't alone with the guy, so therefore there was no stira. So, achi ashta, what kind of comparison? Hatam mishum stirai. Vistira b'Rishus HaRabim leka. The only problem of the sota is the fact that she was alone. But since over here she never was alone, so there's nothing to begin with. Mashenken over here, hacha, the mikvah, is a problem of whether the mikvah was less than Arba'im Sa'ar or not. So it's Mishum Chaserhu. Ma'ale Chaser B'Rishut HaRabim, Ma'ale Chaser B'Rishut HaYachid. Does it really matter? What's the difference where it is? Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, but I mean, wait a minute. All over Shas, we learn out all of the dinim of a Sofik Tuma from Sota. And we don't say, no, Sota has nothing to do with that being Tumeya. It's just that she wasn't Nistara. I mean, are you ignoring all of that? V'chitema ha'kol safek tumar b'rishut harabim tahor. Don't we learn that? And we have even other mikorot for that, as we're going to see. So a safek tumar b'rishut harabim should be tahor no matter what. Forget about saying it's only because she's not nisteret. So why over here is it any different? No, it's different. Because kiman de'ika tarti l'reyuta. Remember that our whole sfara was that in this case we have a problem in the mikveh, and we also have a cheskas tuma on the guy who went into the mikveh, on the kelim that went into the mikveh. But if that's the case, then for all intents and purposes we could view it as a vadai, not as a safik. In other words, tarti l'reyuta, where we have in both directions a reason to believe that it's overwhelmingly likely that it was tamei, we view that as a vadai. And since it's a vadai, the whole din of sota doesn't apply, because the din of sota is actually only on a suffik tuma. This isn't called a suffik tuma. So it's kevadai tuma dami. It's similar to a vadai tuma. Now, obviously, that means that we're not learning it out of sota. We can't say we learned it from sota. Because we're basically, in the end, we're coming to show that there's no contradiction between holding, in this case, that it was vadai tami, bein b'shut ha'yachid, bein b'shut ha'rabim. Ultimately, the reason is because of tartil reyuta, and that's consistent with the dinim of sota. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, also says he's consistent with sota. Let's take it just on the simple level. It's just like the sota, right? I mean, a sota b'shut ha'rabim is tohor. So that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that the mikvah, basically, if the problem arose in b'shut ha'rabim, then we're going to say it's tohor. If it's b'shut ha'yachid, then it's tamei. B'shut ha'rabim, I mean, why not say, if that's the case, that you should go all the way? Imi sota, then say ema just like the sota. Say ki sota the whole way, just like the sota. Mat sota b'rishut ha'yachid, we say she's tamei vadai. So how come over here you say b'rishut ha'yachid it's only a suffik tuma? If you're learning it out from sota, then again it's not consistent with sota. Oh, come now, says Rabbi Shimon. Achiash, what's the comparison? By sota we have very good grounds to say that she's tameya, and it's based on those grounds that the Torah says there's a vadai iser. What is that? Yesh raglayim ledavar. We have what to stand on, don't we? Sharei kina lavinistra. Her husband told her, don't be alone with this guy. She is alone with this guy. I mean, isn't that rather suspicious? So it must be, therefore, that based on those raglayim ledavar, the Torah is being machmer. But hacha, my raglayim ledavar ika. What's the raglayim ledavar in this case? Why should we say that it's a vadai? Or we could say that actually the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon is that Rabbi Shimon is Gomar Sof Tuma Mitchilat Tuma. Rabbi Shimon says, look, let's take a look at the din of Tvila, where we already had a Tuma that was here, and we want to remove the Tuma, and the din of Sota, where the Sota is a going to become Tumea. So in this approach, the case of Sota according to Rabbanan has no relevance. Because what Sota is talking about, the question, is whether somebody became Tame or not. Over here, somebody was Tame. So what are we saying? If they were Tame, we should learn out from Sota that they became Tahor, and we should throw out, it's ridiculous. What does that have to do with it? Marsha Aimkein, Rabbi Shimon says, no, actually, there's no question of any distinction. The whole din of Sota is Gzerat HaKatuv, essentially. And therefore, we'll compare the Sof Tuma, meaning the Tfilah to get rid of the Tuma, to the Tchilat Tuma. Just like Tchilat Tuma, when we're learning out from Sota, we say Safik Naga, Safik Lo Naga. What's the din? The Torah says that in Rishut HaRabim, she is Tahora. So therefore, I'm going to apply that halakha here. And I'll say, what's the difference if you started off Tame? Bottom line is, you went to the mikveh. There is a Safik here. The Torah says that where there is a Safik, we paskin Lekula by definition, by Safik Tuma in Rishut HaRabim. And therefore, here too, it would be Tahor. Whereas the Rabbanan would say, I don't understand what you're talking about. Okay, Ashna, what kind of comparison is there to the whole din of Sota? Hatam Gavra b'cheskat Torah koi. You start off with a cheskat Torah. What do you want to do? You want to make this woman Tame. You want to make this guy Tame. Misveka lo machtina leila tuma. You don't, all the Torah is saying is, if you have a suffix, don't make a person Tame. That's all. But in this case, where you started off with Tuma, you could say just the opposite. You're saying that what Sota is saying is absolutely 100% rely on the situation that was, if you're in Rishut HaRabim. Fine, so then the situation that was is that he's Tame. All right, so if this is correct, so far we've been able to find a reason to distinguish between the case of the Isha in the Tuma Lamafreya, of a woman who finds Dan, and the two cases that we've had so far that seemed on the surface to be different, which was the case of the mikveh first, then the case of the wine in the Chavit. But there's another case that raises suspicions that something's wrong with our explanation. And this, according to Shammai, would make no sense at all. Because remember, according to Shammai, Daya Sha'ata, which means we don't make any Tuma L'mafreya. So how do you explain, according to Shammai, Ma'ishna Mimavui? If the understanding is that it's based on a chazaka, a mavui should be exactly the same chazaka. What's the case of mavui, which we're going to see later on in the Mishnah? It's not. Hasheretz shenim tzabe mavui. You find a dead sheretz in a mavui. The din is that all taharot that were in that mavui, from the last time that the mavui was checked onward, sounds exactly like the case of the Isha. The case over there, we don't find any machlokas. And in that case, all taharot are tameim lemafreya. I thought according to Shammai, there's no such thing as being metame lemafreya. We always take a look at a chazaka. And it says here that it is metabin lemafreya up until the point where someone can say, look, I took a flash out and I checked this mavui, which is the equivalent of making a badika, this woman making a badika on herself, or, and there was no sheretz at that point, or at sha'at kibud, or up until the point where somebody says, I went ahead and I swept out this mavui, and I was sweeping, I certainly would have noticed, because I check while I sweep. Now, if that's the case, then that's the equivalent of the same Nipkita Lipkita we talked about a Mishameshet Be'edim. So any reason for us to have discovered that down before, so over here, should be the same thing. And yet over there, Shammai says, why worry about it? And here, everybody is made that we do worry about it. How do you explain that? And says the Gemara, well, I'll tell you, the case of Movi, remember, we already made a distinction between the case of the Movui and the case of the Mikvah, and we called it Tartil Reyuta, right? Well, this is similar to Tartil Reyuta in this case, because over here we have two sets of Shratzim. You're telling me that we check the Mavui. Okay, checking the Mavui creates a chazaka for things that are in the Mavui. But would checking the Mavui have any impact on something flying in from elsewhere? It's irrelevant that I check the Mavui, right? So therefore, that part doesn't really count And it's equivalent to Tartila Reyuta. That's the Ritva explains. Obviously, it isn't really Tartila Reyuta. And we're only being machmer legabe the din of Truma Vekachim. And nonetheless, because it has certain similarities, in other words, the Tartila Reyuta, the way we use the word until now, meant that the object that we're coming to define also has a cheskas tumah. In this case, that's not what happens. The Taharot that were in the Mavui did not have any cheskas tumah. But what we're saying is, since there's an additional factor which needs to be weighed in, and that is, how much does a chazak of Bedikat HaMavui impact the status of this Mavui vis-a-vis other Shrotzen that could have come in and died there after they flew in? Because of that, we're also going to be machmer on this case. Masha Enkein, when it comes to the case of the woman, there we don't have the Tartila Reyuta. And so Shammai says, look, you don't have to worry. There's no reason to be Matami Lamafreya. We will not be Matami Lamafreya in the case of the woman. And that's a clear cut. No other issues are involved, so we think. And all that we need to do is see whether there are factors that should cause us to create a problem retroactively. Or, you know what? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe this has nothing to do with the issue of Chazaka. And the Machlokas of Shammai Vehillel is based on a completely different question. Perhaps the real reasoning of Shammai is not because there was a Cheskas Taira and we will never retroactively be Metamed. Perhaps what Shammai is saying is, look, maybe there is no real difference between Mavui and between Mikvah and between Chavit vis-a-vis the Chazaka. These are artificial distinctions. There's a very simple reason why, by a woman, we will not be Matamei L'Mafreya. A woman is aware of her body. And therefore, had she been Raya this dam previously, she would have sensed it. Since she didn't sense it, therefore, we have to assume that it was something that happened only now. So you'll say, but what do you mean? But she didn't sense it now. So how come you're saying, she didn't sense it now, why are we saying she would have sensed it before? So Rashi says, well, maybe that's the point. Maybe she discovered it now by making a bedika. Maybe that's what we're talking about. If she discovered it now by making a bedika, then at the moment of the insertion of the material to make the bedika, that would have covered the sensation of the dam. So she didn't realize that she was feeling something, perhaps. Tosfos says, I mean, come on. So then maybe she slept with her husband and mistook the intercourse for really the sensation of the dam, but was covered by that. Or covered by need to get to urinate, or whatever. I mean, you can always say that. Once you're already coming on to that, that there's something else covered the sensation, then why wouldn't we say something else covered the sensation earlier? Therefore, Tosfos says, that isn't the point. The point is that since, in general, a woman will be sensitive, therefore, we're not going to make a distinction between, oh, this time she missed it. I mean, it reads right now. I mean, why should we say, and therefore, she's insensate? I mean, she's a sensitive person like anybody else. The norm would be that she would have felt it before. I mean, she just happened. I don't have to explain why now. I'm not going to start making chilukim in this particular case versus another case. In general, low pluger, I wanted to start worrying about maybe she's not sensitive in general. I don't have to explain away the fact that this particular moment of re'iyah was without sensation. So I make a low plug. And therefore, ho'il v'yishamar geshet ba'atzma, she would have noted herself whether she had been re'adam. We don't have to worry about the past. Mashenkin, all of the other cases are cases where there's no reason for us to assume that we shouldn't have to look retroactively. It's very simple. That's a good point, actually. So what's Hillel think? Hillel says, well, I mean, look, the bottom line is you can't trust sensation because there are all types of sensations that she might have recognized but confused them. I mean, people do confuse feelings. So maybe she thought she needed to urinate, and that was the feeling that she was having. So, kesvura hargashat meraglayim hi. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. And according to Shammai, I mean, what if she was asleep? Maybe this dam, she didn't notice because she was sleeping before, and therefore now when we find it, we do have to be chayish from before. So, ika yishena, no. Because even asleep, look, people wake up because they have to urinate. So, she would have been woken up by that sensation. So, agaf sa'ara, because of the equivalent of pain, in other words, there are sensations that actually wake the brain to something going on. We call that tzara. There's that feeling that something needs to be done about something. So she would be mitara. She would have woken up. Midadave aragashat meraglayim. The same way you say that we could confuse those two sensations, she would have woken up, just like she would have woken up by the need to urinate. Oh, wait a minute. But then you can't cover all cases. What about a shota? What about if she's really an idiot? And she does not pay attention, is not aware, does not communicate, and we would have no idea whether she did have such a sensation earlier or she didn't have. Well, you know, Hinami, who's to say that Shammai was talking about everybody? Maybe Shammai was talking about normal people. So, Moda Shammai B'Shota, if she's insane and there is, in fact, nothing to rely on, so then Shammai would say, maybe this is no different than the case of Chavit, or the case of Mavoi, or the case of Mikvah, and he would say that we'd have to be Chayash L'Mafreya. Wait a minute, the Mishnah says, Kol Hanashim Dayan Sha'atan. Every type of woman. I mean, what does that mean, every woman? Well, it means every normal woman. Every normal woman, we would have the right to be Samechan. Velitne Nashim. So that's the So then, I don't understand. So then why say every woman? Just say women. Dayan Sha'atan. I mean, and that way we won't get confused to think you're trying to cover every last woman, including mad women. Well, wait a minute. No. You have to say Kol HaNashim. You see, you're not aware of the context. You're not aware of the context. Later on, we're going to see that Rebbe Eliezer says there are, even Aliba, our psak, like Beit Hillel, there are arba nashim dayan sha'atan. There are women that are considered to be in a chazaka that are not going to be rayadam. She's pregnant. It's all okay. So therefore, Shammai would say, no, not arba nashim, kol nashim dayan sha'atan. But he doesn't mean to cover all cases. He means to cover all statuses of women. So therefore, he says, the arba nashim v'tulo kamashvan comes on Shammai to say, don't pay any attention to Rebbe Eliezer. It's not four women. It's all women. Kol hanashim. And that's consistent with the lashon, the way that the Gemara would have put it, would have been, had we read this all together. Let's say, we would have read the next Mishnah. Rebbe Eliezer omer arba nashim dayan shatan. The betulah, the meuberet, the menika, and the zekina. Why? Because they're all mesulakot damim. This woman had never seen blood before in her life. This woman is currently pregnant, doesn't bleed. This woman is in the middle of nursing the first 24 months, doesn't bleed. This woman is postmenopausal, doesn't bleed. So that's part of our Mishnah, really. I mean, just, you know, again, remember, we're supposed to be Bikim in the Mishnah. That's a continuation of our Mishnah. You would see all that in context. So then when Shammai said Kol Hanashim, you'd see very clearly. I'm contrasting this with the next words, Rebbe Eliezer. Arba Hanashim, nonsense, Kol Hanashim. But Enoch Inami, that's in terms of the status in life, but not in terms of the mental abilities. If she's a Shota, so forget about it. That makes sense. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. And I have a real serious issue. If you're telling me that the reason that Shammai holds that we don't have to be chayish for iyadam l'mafreya, why in the world are we ever chayish about kitamim? Remember, there's a whole world out there of a way in which we paskin l'chumra if she finds a stain on her clothes. Right now, obviously, if she didn't feel that blood and she has a stain on her clothes, then what we should assume is that stain did not come from her body. I mean, maybe it came from her body, from a cyst, from who knows, but certainly not the normal feeling that she would have had from uterine bleeding. So according to this logic, Tosis explains there shouldn't be anything of ketamim at all. If you hold a hargashak, you could be semichan and be metayer, then there shouldn't be a concept of ketamim at all. And this would be across the board. Even the Nogea Kachim, we shouldn't be metame for the ketamim. Not only l'mafreya, even mikan alaba. The concept of ketamim is off the wall, according to Shammai, if he's going to be semech on the din of hargasha. And the fact is that we do have a case like this. We have a case where, we're going to see later, where you have a little child, where you find blood, and you do not assume that the blood that you find on her sheets are coming from uterine bleeding. I mean, why would a baby have uterine? I mean, there's something else. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody walked by from a butcher shop. Whatever it is, but it's ridiculous to think that it came from her. So, I mean, we do see there is such a concept. So why, according to Shammai, wouldn't we assume that that's the concept? No reason to believe that she was bleeding. So what are you going to say? Answers the Gemara, well, Omer Abaye Moda Shammai B'Ketamim. Look, it's all basically a question of judgment. I mean, we're talking about being gozer here. So if you're talking about a woman who has no explanation for the fact that there is blood here, so what are you going to say? It must have come from elsewhere. I mean, what is the most logical explanation? That she just missed the feeling of the blood. And that this is regular menstrual blood. I mean, that's the norm, why a woman would find blood. So therefore, Shammai is Moda B'Ketamim, and I'll tell you why. Because, look, the truth is, of course, that if there's another explanation for the blood, then we do not metame a ketam. So let's say this woman was handling raw meat. She had been in a butcher shop. She shechted some, whatever it is. I mean, why in the world, if she didn't do that, would there be blood? But if she did do that, we wouldn't be metame ketamim. So therefore, Shammai is saying, look, I mean, it's one thing to say that we won't go to Mafreya, but, I mean, to say that blood appeared out of nowhere, I mean, listen, b'tzipor lo nitaska, she wasn't cooking chicken. She wasn't cutting up her chicken. B'shuk shel tabachim lo avra, she didn't walk through a butcher shop. She's been sitting here playing with her iPad all morning. Where did this blood come from? So clearly, it's got to come from her. Okay, according to this approach, now there is a major difference between this approach and the first approach. Namely, that according to this approach, a shota shamai would be made. And if it was a pure din and chazaka, it would have nothing to do with the woman. Now that's not really true. I just want to remind you that we mentioned that the din of sfeikos of tuma, there's a problem of yesh ba da'at lishael, right? It has to be similar to sota. You can ask somebody, did you sleep with the guy or did you not? But over here, if she's a shota, not to be confused with sota, even though the two are interrelated, as the Gemara says, you know, it's written with a shin, because unless you've gone nuts for a moment, you don't mess up your marriage to be with this other guy, but fine. But with the sota, we say yesh badat lishael. Yeah, there is no dat lishael. So in order to avoid that problem, we could say that it's talking about over here a shota whose friends are taking care of her nidot, which is the norm, because otherwise we won't be allowed to have her around anything that was tarot. So basically other women would be checking her, make sure she goes to mitzvah and so on. So they have dat lishael. So let's just keep it simple by saying that's the case. All right. So we have two approaches so far in the Machlokas Shammai V'Hillel. According to Machlokas number one, makes no difference what this woman is. Bottom line is, we have a Cheskes Taira, Liba Debet Shammai. We have no Chazaka because of the Reyuta that is always going to be changing. Migufa Kachazia, you cannot say a Chazaka. That's the first approach. Second approach, according to Shammai, we're sevek on the fact that a woman is sensitive to her own bleeding. According to Hillel, we're not because we're worried that maybe she confused her feelings with some other need to urinate or whatever. A third possibility is v'ibaytayim. Here's a third possibility in the machlokas of Shammai and Hillel. Hainu tayimah de Shammai. Why does Shammai say that we do not worry retroactively? Very simple. Look, it's simply because of the fact that it's so unlikely that a woman was bleeding and that nonetheless the blood was sitting in there this whole time. Why didn't, if she was bleeding, wasn't she bleeding outside of her body? So therefore, what's the chashash of l'mafreya? I understand the mikvah I'd never notice. The chavit I'd never notice. The mavui I'd never notice. But how would I not have noticed that I'm bleeding? And therefore, it doesn't make any sense. If I just find it now, it's logical to say I found it now because that's when it happened. Whereas Hillel says, well, I mean, listen, I mean, it's going to take a certain amount of blood to make its way out of the vagina. I mean, it's going to be held into Kotlei Beit HaRechem. So the vaginal walls are just going to keep this blood inside for a little bit. And maybe we have to be choshish for that. The Kotlei Beit HaRechem Hemidu. And it's just held back inside. Vishamai, come on. Kotlei Beit HaRechem lo mukmidam. I mean, blood just slips out. I mean, what to say that it got caught there? Well, how would blood get caught? Well, I mean, it's according to this. What if a woman is using a diaphragm? So she now has a diaphragm that's preventing any blood from coming out. What are you going to say in that case? So Mishamesha B'moch, of course, in their days, they didn't have properly fitted diaphragms, but they used material. So you could put in enough material to stuff up the vagina so no semen would get through, and that served the same purpose as a diaphragm. So how about if she's on birth control, this woman? So then what would Shammai say about that? Wouldn't the blood have gotten caught in this moch? And that would have been a very good reason for why she didn't see the blood. So how do you explain that? Omer Abaye, well, of course, Shammai is murdered. That in that, I mean, Shammai's talking about a normal case. A normal case where you have an unobstructed vagina, you have unobstructed dam. And there's no chashash of Kotei Beit HaRechem. I mean, you're saying, and what if? And what if? So in that case, of course, Shammai would be murdered. It's a logistical problem. That's all. Rava says, well, I mean, you don't even have to come on to that. Because even if you have a moch, if she's walking around with this moch, remember, it's not a diaphragm, it's just material. And material, if you leave it in, it's going to get all wet, and it's going to actually end up not filling the entire space, and it will allow blood to come out. So therefore, the moch nami agav zeya michvetz kovitz, it's going to get smaller as it gets damper, and therefore it's going to allow blood to come out. And Shammai says, I don't even care about a moch. Now, of course, Rava would have to agree that in the case of a moch dachuk, if you have a really bunch of material in there that cannot be michvatz kovitz, okay, then logistically, Shammai would be made. It's not that he feels that, you know, it's impossible that there should be a logistical difference. He's just saying it's such an unlikely occurrence. We wouldn't even bother mentioning it. But if this is the reasoning, then look, there's clearly going to be a difference. According to reason number three that we have, reason number one, chazoka. Reason number two, isha margisha ba'atzma. Reason number three, the fact is that it should have come out right now. Why in the world would it have been there before and not leaked out? Those are the three approaches. In each one, Hillel's got an alternative. Approach number one, Hillel says, well, you can't say a chazaka if there's a reyes amigufa, then she's kachazia. In reason number two, maybe she confused her hargosha for something else. In reason number three, look, the blood can get caught a little bit behind the lobby or whatever. There's ways in which the blood won't come out. So we have three reasons so far. There's clearly a difference between these two reasons. These three reasons. In which case, the next question doesn't really make much sense. The Gemara asks, so my ike ben hani lishne laich lishna. What is the difference between these lishonot, these last two lishonot, and the first lashon? Now, there's obviously the difference. The first lashon covers all cases. Whether the woman is insane, whether she's using a diaphragm, all cases are covered. And the other two cases don't cover all cases. And we have to explain that, well, of course, Shammai would agree in this case, Shammai would agree in that case. So this is really a funny question to ask. We just explain the difference. So the Ritva explains that the point over here is that the Gemara is troubled by the fact that why would you offer other cases? Since there's going to be a problem of kol hanashim, what are you gaining is really the difference. What are you addressing that makes you want to say this? That's really the question. There's got to be something that would make you say that kol anashim doesn't mean kol anashim. Because the simple is, you read it, so it suggests itself. We're talking about a chazaka. We're not talking about a particular woman. We're talking about a situation. Kol anashim dayan shata. That sounds like a din in tuma, not like a din in particular women. So we're really asking, so what changed with this? Once we ask that, then we want to clarify the difference between all of the lishonot, and we will. But we initially ask it because, you see, of course there's a tremendous advantage, because we really got caught up in making a lot of very subtle distinctions, which were not entirely persuasive. Because according to the first lashon, we get deep into, I mean, thrown off into the deep end. of taking this as a simple chazak and then having case after case where it seems to be different and where changes are occurring. We need to explain in each case how the changes, first we think the changes occur at different rates, and then we think and maybe it has to do with some other element, and then we come out finally to say that there's differences of tartil reyata, but then we stretch the envelope of tartil reyata. I mean, come on. We always try to avoid that kind of thing. Therefore, the last two lashonot allow us to avoid that. If it's a problem of isha magisha batzman, it's nothing to do with chazaka. We don't have to look at the cases of malvoy, at the cases of chavit, at the case of mikveh. It's irrelevant. If the problem is that we don't say kotei beit harechem emidua, so again, it has nothing to do with these cases. That's the advantage. So according to these lashonot, you don't have to worry about that. So la'eich, according to the first lashon, that it's a function of chazaka, ikala mirminu, then you'd have to explain why it's not consistent with other cases that seem to be the same. Whereas lahani lishni, according to these last two lishonot, lekala mirminu, we don't get into the whole problem of chazaka. And of course, I mean, as far as the difference between these lishonot, these last two lishonot, it's very simple. Because, look, according to Abaye, if the problem is the kotlei beit harechem, then the difference would be, of course, whether you have to worry about a change in a case of a diaphragm. And even according to Rava, in a case we have a good fitting diaphragm, you'd have to say that shamai would be maida, right? So in that case, kihai lishna, according to this, So according to that lashon, that the question is whether you say kotlei beit harechem emidu, you'd get into the difference of the moch dachuk. That's all. Now, we do have a braita that seems to suggest that we know that the issue is about whether kotlei beit harechem emidu. And that's a braita. Tani ki hai lishna. If you read this braita, there seems to be no doubt as to what the machlokas was between Shammai and Hillel. Because in this braita, it seems to be clearly saying ki hai lishna, like approach number three. The im ita davidami korahavi ati. If there was blood, then it would have come out. Because listen to what it says in the braita. Quote, Omar lo Hillel Shammai. Hillel says to Shammai, are you not going to agree with me in the case that we have discussed about a kupa? You have a box. This is a long box. You open it up and you find that there is a dead sheretz on the far side to the left. And you've been using this box on the side to the right. And the din over there is that since you found a sheretz in this box, the taharot arishonot are tmeot. You've got to worry about all of the things back limafreya until you know for a fact that it wasn't there. You are going to have to worry about it. That's only, by the way, because it was in the other side. And therefore, you might not have noticed it. It's on the same side for which you bent down and picked up whatever was inside of the box. So then you would have seen it. That's what we're talking about. A case where it was bezovitzu and a zovitzu. So since you didn't use it, so memela, maybe you didn't notice it. But if it would have been found in the same place with the tyrus arm, it's ridiculous. How would I have taken out the tyrus and not seen that there's a dead sheretz there? Omar lo, Shammai says, aval, most definitely. Of course, the word aval, remember, we related to avelut. It's absolutely. I certainly would. Well, says Hillel, if you would, can you please explain to me what difference there is between the two cases? Ma'efresh ben zo lezo. Oh, says Shammai, just a minor difference. The box has a bottom for him, it's six, and a woman doesn't have a bottom. So lezeh yesh lo shulayim lezo in lo shulayim. Tell that to the picture takers. But since she doesn't have a bottom to hold something in, so if there, what is he saying? He's saying if there was blood, it would have flowed out. That's what he's saying. So how, I mean, you know, this makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? Yep, seems to. Later on, we're going to have to, of course, explain what the issue is. I mean, so how do we have other pshat if Shammai himself says that this is the pshat? Okay, but we'll move on for now. Pshat number four in the Machlokas, Shammai v'Hillel. Rava Amar, no. Actually, Shammai and Hillel completely agree. It's just that Shammai says we are not going to make a gezerah, even for Kachim and Tyrus, in a case where a woman is Temeilim Afreya, because then every guy who's with a woman is going to say, oh, for heaven's sake, so she might become an Edom. You know, and maybe she's Anita now. I mean, after all, last time, 3 days before she was Anita, I ain't going to sleep with this woman. So he's going to be constantly staying away from her. And that, but it's the reproductive costs are heavy. And since we were Bimavato, Piriya Verivya, why be Machmir? After all, we need to judge each case. And it makes no sense to be Machmir on the Tuma in a case we're going to be Mavato, something much more important. So you have Bitul Piriya Verivya. Oh. Interesting, because we also have a braita that supports Rava's reason, a bitul piriya verivya. So now we have two braita that seem to contradict each other. We have to explain this. Tanya Namiach, indeed, it says in the braita, Amarlo Shamay Le'elel, Shamay says, Tila, what's the matter with you making a takana like this? Im kein bital to benot Yisrael mi piriya verivya, who's going to want to sleep with a woman? Manditani Halishna, this man, the Omar, how's he going to explain the first braita? He said, which braita is real? This braita is saying that the Machlok Shamayvil is based on whether we have to worry about Piriya Verivya. The braita, three lines before that, was saying very clearly that it's the Heichlish, the Dimitad Avidami Kar Aviyate, the how come it wouldn't have shown itself earlier? Well, you know what? It was actually Hillel's mistake, you see. Hillel misunderstood Shammai. Hillel thought that Shammai's reasoning. And time of the Shammai was Hillel the Katayom made a mistake. Usava time of the Shammai Dimita David Ami Korah Haviyat. He thought that was Shammai's reasoning. How come she didn't believe before? So he asks, well, why is this any different than a kupa? And in the end, Shammai is coming along to say, no, you don't understand. I was really arguing on the basis of Bitul Piriya Verivya. As far as your question is concerned, by the way, it's not a very smart question. That's all that Shammai is saying. What are you asking me from Kupa? What does Kupa have to do with it? My whole point is that if a woman is bleeding, the blood would come out. And you're asking me for the case of a box, where if there was a sheretz there, it wouldn't have fallen out. So even Lamaidika Itanami, even your question, it's not a very good question. You made a mistake and you asked me to come a kashita Kupa? What kind of question is that? Lazo yesh la shulayim, velazo ein la shulayim. Okay, so that explains the misunderstanding here. There's no real question. Shammai didn't want to leave his question hanging because he thought it was silly. So he explained it, but it really was irrelevant because Shammai's reasoning was actually based on the period of a Rivia question. Yeah, but what about those who really believe that was the reason? How did they explain the bright of period of a Rivia? Ah, they understand it to be as follows. What Hillel was saying to Shammai was, what do you think? I don't understand the difference. I'm not an idiot. Of course there's a difference. In time of karma. You're telling me there's a difference. But for God's sake, where are we talking about a halacha over here? We're talking about a gezerah. I'm saying we should be machmer when it comes to truma and kachim. And we should say that it's tamei l'mafreya. We always make a gezerah. So the imita davidami kara. You're right. Imita davidami kara haviate. I also understand it's not like a box. But miu asei siag l'dvarecha. I mean, there are grounds to say sometimes it might have happened. So make a siag. I mean, how come kol ha'terekula? We always try to be machmer when it comes to kachim and truma. We make a siag, but people should be more machmer. Why won't you make a siag? Amar leis, Shammai said, because we don't make a siyug when it creates more problems than it solves. And I'm telling that in this case, if you make the siyug, im ken bitalta benot Yisrael mi piriya verivya, then you're going to cause a problem. And Hillel says, piriya verivya, who does this have to do with reproduction? Am I talking about being chayshesh for a husband not to sleep with his wife? I'm talking about to be metami taharot, mika amina. Did I say anything that would affect sleeping with a woman? I was talking about being metami taharot to the kamina. And Shammai says, well, you can't do that because in people's minds, it's all the same. If they're going to say, well, the Chachamim were worried, maybe she was Re'adam before, they're not going to think to themselves, yeah, but it's only a Siyog, and that the people are simple. So they say, look, if the Chachamim were Cheshish that she really saw before, so then I'm worried about sleeping with her, you know? Maybe I should only sleep with her right after her period, but after that, I've got to worry about Lamafreya. So because of that, you know, you got these frummies around. So Latiris Nami Lo, because Im Kein Libo No Kvo Porei, he's going to find a reason not to reproduce too. So that basically summarizes the four approaches. Actually, the Ritva learns that the thing that was pushing Rava to that last approach was the fact that he didn't want to say that it was a mistake. To say that Hillel made a mistake and that Shammai was only answering, you know, I know what you're talking about, but since you made the mistake, I'll tell you anyway, that there's a difference between Kupa and Isha. Rava says, that doesn't make sense. The real Machlokas is about the Siyag. Therefore, it wasn't a mistake. Hillel all along says, of course I agree with you. All I'm saying is, what about the Siyag? And Shammai is saying, a Siyag is a judgment question. People don't have judgment, and therefore my judgment is not to make this young. Okay. Hillel is a little bit more generous with people. It's my Kupa, back. It's my Kupa, shenishtamshu b'taharot b'zavitzo, v'nimtze sheretz b'zavit acher. Now, we have a machloket between Amoraim also, which sounds like the machloket of Kupa. We'll see, it's not exactly the same. In this case, it's a barrel-like affair, and you use taharot, let's assume it's on its side. You use taharot on this end, and you find the sheretz in the other end. Chizkiah says, you don't have to worry about that sheretz being there. The taharot, harishonot, they are all taharot. Rabbi Yochanan says, the taharot, harishonot, are tumeyot. Now, if this is the same Kupa we had before, this doesn't make any sense. I thought Shammai and Hillel were made that the Kupa case, the Taharot HaRishonot, are Tmeyot. How are Achronim, so to speak, there's the Amoraim vis-a-vis the Rishonim, vis-a-vis the Tanoim, how are they arguing on Shammai and Hillel? That's crazy. If both Shammai and Hillel are made in a Kupa, that on the other side, we'd certainly have to assume you wouldn't have noticed it, that the Taharot HaRishonot are Tmeyot. How can both Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan discuss this case as if it's open for discussion? No. That's two completely different cases. The Kupa case before refers to a box. That's a box. It has a bottom. It's a Kupa Sheyesh Shulayim. That's obvious from the discussion between Shammai and Hillel. Sheyesh Shulayim or Ein Lo Shulayim. But Kipligeh Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan, Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about not a box with a bottom. They're basically talking about a barrel on its side. So it's a kupa she'en la shulayim. Ein la shulayim, what do you mean? So then, in order to get the tarot out, you have to bend it on its side, and then the tarot come out. So then if the tarot come out, so then the sheretz would have come out. So then the sheretz being there now couldn't have been there at the time, because otherwise it would have come out with whatever apples you had in there, whatever you had in there. I don't understand. So then how can anybody possibly suggest that in that case it was there from before? It makes no sense to say that it was there from before. So what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? The Taharot HaRishonot are Tmeyot. Ah, in my time Rabbi Yochanan. Well, now wait a minute. Remember, we're talking about a barrel. Now barrels are usually made with a little bit of a rim into which you fit the top of the barrel. But that rim could have held back that dead sheretz. So, in other words, you've got apples. Okay, the apples roll out. But meanwhile, the dead sheretz gets caught on the rim. So maybe that's what he's saying. So he's saying it does not have shulayim, but none. It's ein la shulayim, but yesh la ognim. It does have a rim. And therefore, he holds we should also be chashash. Well, so what? What's none? Here we have a case which sounds just like that. A guy is pouring out water from a bucket into a large container. He does this 10 times. So he lowers the bucket, pours the water, lowers the bucket, pours the water, and all of a sudden he sees in time number 10, there's a dead sheretz in that water. Now obviously if the dead sheretz was in the cistern, when the water was bechorbet to the ground, it's not matame the water. But the moment that sheretz gets into the bucket with the water, now that water is going to be tame from the sheretz. The question is, was that sheretz in the bucket all along and every bucket was tame? Or is it only the last bucket that had the sheretz? This sounds exactly like the same problem. I'm pouring out the water. The question is whether the sheretz was left behind or not. The first time, the second time, and now it's been there the whole time. Do I have to be chayshish that it was there from before? And it says over there that if you find the sheretz at one time that you're about to throw the water in, only the water in the bucket at that time is tummy, and all the other bucket that had been placed in the large containers all tar. And Reish Lakish explained that obviously we got to be talking about a case of a year, that it says a bucket that had no way of holding a sheretz in it from before, and therefore did not have a rim. But if it had a rim, then you'd have to worry that it was contained inside the edge of the rim. Maybe it was here the whole time. Then all the water should be tameh. Now, are you telling me that according to Chizkiah, who says even though it's got a rim, we have to assume that the sheretz would fall out, and therefore only the last one should be tameh here? So he argues now on this. Is that what you're saying? So Lema Chizkiah does not hold of Rabbi Yannai, as Reish Lakish just explained it. No, come on, there's no comparison. Water is sharkei. I mean, when you pour out water, well, you don't turn the bucket upside down, for heaven's sake. You go splash. Well, why should I have to sit there and turn the entire bucket upside down? So the water is easy to throw out of the bucket. Therefore, when I throw the water out, it's certainly conceivable that the dead sheretz got caught with the edge because I didn't turn it upside down. But when it comes to the fruit that I've got inside the barrel, how did I get the fruit out? I turned it upside down. I went over to the other end, and I lifted it up to get all the fruit out. So then why wouldn't I push it all the way up? And when I get the fruit out, so then why didn't the sheretz come out? Pire, lo sharke. They're not easy to pour out. Well, you know what? Maya lo kopina. Do I care if I get out the last little bit of water? What am I, squeezing out the bucket? Mashen kein, if I've got to clean out this bucket from the apples that are in it, I don't leave a few apples behind in the bucket. Therefore, I have to turn it completely upside down. Therefore, I say, when it comes to the question of the kupa with the sheretz, what is there to worry about? How would it hold back it if I turn the entire thing upside down? So, peri, the maya, you're not mak, but on it, lo kopina layu. Peri, are copied alayhu, and we're going to see very soon tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, this goes on for quite a bit, this last teretz, is there's other possible differences between the case of the kupa of Shammai v'Hillel and the case of the kupa of Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan.